Our gospel reading for this Easter Sunday comes from the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on that first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come to attend to your word, as we come to open our hearts and our souls and our minds to you, bless our time together at this time, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter. Easter is all about one word. And it is one word that I have for you today. One word from our reading in the Gospel of Mark is Easter in and of itself. That one word changes the world in which we live, changes the lives that we live, and changes who we are. It is that one word that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome are told to go tell the disciples and Peter. One word. One word in Greek, a phrase in English, but it's one word. It is one word that we proclaim every Sunday. It is one word we proclaim every time we pray. One word. This one word is not about a beautiful sunrise or flowers or lilies or decorated Easter eggs. It's not even about cute bunny rabbits. It is one word. It is one word about God coming into the world as flesh and blood, which we celebrated in December. It is one word about Jesus. One word about Jesus of Nazareth, who fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. He taught the word of God. He preached the word of God. He healed people in the name of God, casting out demons in the name of God. And this one word is totally and completely about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being put to death because of you and me and our sins. This one word is the word of the day, the word of the week, the word of the year. It is the word of every generation before us and for every generation that follow us. And it's the word for our generation. It is the word for in the times in which we live. We hear it every year to proclaim the dawn of a new era and a new kingdom and a new way of life. One word. One word. Now, can you imagine what that one word might be? Now, the word I'm talking about occurs in Greek, but it is a phrase or a statement, a sentence in English. That one word for today, that one word for our lifetimes is agerthe. Agerthe. He is risen. He is risen is the word of the day. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. One word. Now, many people might be saying, so what? It's one word. What difference does it make that Jesus has risen from the dead? What difference does it make that Jesus, crucified on Friday and laid in the tomb and silenced around the world, particularly for his followers on Saturday, is risen from the dead? What difference does it matter? What difference does it make? The difference it makes is this. Jesus canceled death. Death as a result of our sin. Death as the one guarantee that we have in this life, that we will not get out of this life or our world today alive. The temporal world in which we live has one sure guarantee for each and every one of us, and that is death. But the word for the day, the word for the day, ergerthe, he is risen, cancels that out. Yes, you and I might die in this world, but there is the promise of the resurrection in Jesus Christ, the promise of living in a new world and a new time. Pastor Michael March, in his blog, Interrupting Silence, tells a story that several years ago, a woman came to him and told him a story about her great-grandson. Her great-grandson came to her and asked, "Why do you have so many wrinkles? Why do you have so many wrinkles on your hands?" "I'm old," she told him. "I'm old. And do you know what happens when you get old?" he asked. And she responded saying, "You die and they bury you in the ground." But before she could say anything else, he added, "But that's okay, because God comes and unburies you." God comes and unburies you. What more is there to say? That is agerthe. That is, he is risen. God comes to give you life, to raise you from the dead, to live a new life, because we have buried ourselves in our sinfulness, in the circumstances of our lives. And God comes to us and unburies us. We will all die, but we are unburied in Jesus Christ. We know in our own lives we're buried in our own sin, in our sorrow and grief and death and loss, in our perfectionism, in our anger, our guilt, in our regret, in our resentment, self-hatred, hatred of others, bullying, being bullied, violence, making accusations against people that may be true or may not be true. In that sinfulness, we get buried. We can't get out of it ourselves. But God comes to us and unburies us in the death and resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are unburied and given new life. He comes to us and rolls away what Pastor Marsh would call the stones of our sinfulness, the stones of being buried, the stones of our lives. Those stones are rolled away from the tomb in which we have been buried by Jesus Christ. The stone is rolled away. And that's the question that the women coming to the tomb this morning, the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, on their way to the tomb, ask, who will roll away that stone? Who's going to move that big, heavy obstacle that keeps us buried in our lives? For they are journeying to the tomb of Jesus to finish the burial, right? To anoint his body as proper, to give him a proper burial. And when they arrive at the tomb, they are told that he's not there. The stone is rolled away, and that he is risen. He is risen. Our lives are unburied. Our lives that have been buried in the death of our sinfulness are resurrected in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have new life. We have a new way ahead. And so what do we do with that new life? How do we live our new life in Christ? Because we have been made new again. Particularly when we are baptized into the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are baptized into that death, but it doesn't remain buried. Because as Jesus was raised from the dead, so you and I are raised from the dead. We have new life. How will you then? How will I? How will we together live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Remember our reading from our gospel this morning, the one verse that says, that has towards the end the response of the three women that have gone through the tomb. The three women at the tomb, after witnessing, are being told by the young man that is present to go to Galilee, respond this way. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. For they were afraid. And they said nothing. Who wouldn't be quiet? Wouldn't you be quiet? I mean, you've just witnessed, you've just seen, you've just experienced the resurrection of somebody just put to death. You've witnessed him being put to death, who was seen as an enemy of maybe the authorities, whether they're Roman or they're Jewish, secular or religious, has been put to death. Why would you say anything? Why would you talk about that he's risen? Because your own very life has been put at risk. Your family's life has been put at risk. I can completely understand why they didn't say anything. But the interesting thing is they did say something. They did say something to the disciples when they caught up with them again. They had to say something. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here and we wouldn't know about Agartha. We wouldn't know about that Jesus Christ is risen. So did they say nothing? No, they very quietly, very wisely, moved by the Holy Spirit, proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ's resurrection as they went along their way. To be quiet doesn't mean that they were silent. They were wise in the manner in which they went about proclaiming the message. They knew what was at risk. They knew what was at stake. And they went about their ways. The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, who had traveled with Jesus, who had traveled with the disciples, who took care of the people as they went along the way, as they ministered to those proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the way of the Lord, took care of them. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons exorcised from her, removed from her, cast out from her, we were told. Mary, the mother of James, whose son becomes an apostle, a disciple, we are told. Or Salome, who really don't know her background, but she had joined the group and traveled along with and cared for everybody that was there. These three women from a variety of backgrounds. In the company of Jesus and his disciples, witness the first resurrection, witnesses Jesus' resurrection, and go about the task quietly, wisely, spreading the word that he is risen, that death has been canceled. And so that's what we hear from the women. We hear from them the word of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year, the word of a generation, egerthe. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Go and tell the world. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.